So wonderful to see you guys. It's actually overwhelming to see actually 400 people, probably 400 plus, just sitting here in the new members course. And just want to tell you from our side as a leadership, our hearts are just full. We are grateful towards God. And we also know tonight you're sitting here because there's something that's stirred in your heart somehow. You've maybe been here a week, 2 weeks, three weeks, 1 month, 2 months, doesn't matter. But you know, the reason why you're sitting here is because God is stirring something in your heart concerning local church, and specifically this place called 3CI. And so the aim for tonight is really just to give you some insight and just to share with you a little bit of maybe the beginnings of that, what you've already experienced. So just such a big welcome to you. Thank you for just taking out tonight and the time to be with us. So it's always good to know who's the guy that's sharing with you a little bit. My name is Robert. I also have a wife. I've married to one wife, Suzanne. We've got two boys, and actually I call them these days young men. They're 17 and 13. And we have joined 3CI almost 20 years ago. So at the end of 2004, and I think Matt also mentioned it, when we joined there were about 200 people. And my new members course, at that stage we called it Looking In. My new members course, we were only about 20 looking in-ish, something like that. I'm actually Afrikaans. My name is Robert Owen, but I'm Afrikaans. So every now and then you're going to hear Afrikaans word. So, the fact that we were shared with and we could catch something of the heart of what was happening at that time really sort of, I think, just propelled us into the fullness of what God had for us in this place. And as Christian said, I'm not, I am one of the elders, and Christian said roughly seven, so I'm not sure if you're not sure, but anyway, there's maybe roughly seven or eight or nine, I don't know. So I'm one of the elders leading 3CI, and but I'm full-time in the marketplace. I've got an average job there every day, and it's been like that for 20 years, and it's been a blessing. I haven't been an elder for 20 years, but in the marketplace. Good. So tonight, I'm actually just going to share with you a little bit about church culture, 3CI church culture, a little bit about volunteering, life group, serving, those avenues. And how amazing was that video? That video, just every time I see it, it just sort of, my heart leaps and it just excites me and I just want to get involved there somewhere. So it's beautiful. So we're going to share a little bit on that. And it's always amazing to see, I think there's a lady sitting here that's been here for 15 years. And of those 15 years, she's also been in my life group for quite a number of years. And she's here tonight at New Member. So well done. It's wonderful. After 15 years, you have a revelation of something. So anyway, let me start. So welcome, Danielle. There we go. She's still wondering if I'm an elder or not. Anyway, good. Let's start. In order to get a grip on the serving areas and the places where you can get involved in and how we operate, it's really good to understand something of our church culture. And I'm going to try to, as quick as I can, just go through some of these things. So we start in Revelation. If we start in Revelation, there's something amazing there. We see that, and for time's sake, I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but we see something interesting in Revelation. There is seven letters written to seven churches. Now, why would that be? Why would there be seven letters being written to seven churches? Because the seven churches were different. Each church, if you go and read those letters, had specific things that they were struggling with. They had some specific strengths, specific weaknesses, areas to be commended, and areas for correction. And so just out of that, you just realize that God places lampstands in place, churches, local churches, and each local church is very unique. So I don't know what your history is. I don't know if you're coming from a background of church or from other churches or you're just a newly saved person. But the one thing that you need to realize tonight is that churches are very unique. And it's unique because God makes it unique with a specific purpose. As at 3CI, we know what our calling is, why God has placed us here, where our areas of influence are. And because you are here, you are very unique. And then as a whole, we are a very unique church. So it's one thing to understand. And as I'm going to share through a lot of things tonight, please bear that in mind, that we come from different church backgrounds, and sometimes we come with the expectation that it has to be the same as where I'm coming from or what I'm used to. And we don't want to make less of what God's doing in other churches. In fact, in this church, we pray for the other churches in our city. We praise God for the other churches in our city. We thank God for seasons of people sitting here that's been in other churches in our city. And we trust that you have left well when that season ended and you come to us. But we praise God for that. But just know that 3CI is very unique. So if you are here tonight, you need to have some understanding of what makes 3CI 3CI. What is the DNA of 3CI? So the second point is that Jesus says, I will build my church. So as a leadership, we've got a healthy understanding that we, including the leadership, is not building the church. Jesus is building his church. And it's one incredibly important thing to understand tonight as well. And so God is adding you here. We're not trying to convince you or trying to add your things like. And as a matter of fact, this is not a a way to try and what is it? If oorreed is Afrikaans. That word. We are here to share with you what we know we are called for. What is our local church culture? What is our DNA? What is the values that we hold fast to? And then we trust God that he does something in your heart. And if that resonates with your heart, that you will jump in and just knit your heart and your effort into this local place for this season. Is that cool? Okay, so third thing you need to know is that this bride is precious to God. This is a special bride of God. And I sometimes just get emotional if I just think about this bride of God. You know, God's bride globally, internationally. But this special lampstand called 3CI is very, very special to God. So if God recognizes that this bride is special, then we also recognize that this bride is very special. And so when you come into this new season and you start exploring and wanting to hear tonight what it is about, please bear in mind that it is a special people of God. And if this is the place where God wants to add you, you are about to be placed into a very special bride of Christ called 3CI. So in Acts 20 verse 28 it says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. You need to know that this is not just church. We're not playing church. We're not having an organization, whatever. It is something, it's a people that Christ gave his life for, and he's paid with his blood. So keep that in mind, that we have a reverence for what Jesus has done for this bride. It's a beautiful thing to realize. And then Paul writes in different places in Scripture that there's a divine jealousy. There's a divine jealousy over this bride. And it's really precious. So some things you need to know. Maybe you've been longer here or less long. 3CI has been birthed through much sacrifice of many that has gone before us. So the blessing that you see here, the building that you see here, the footage that you see on the videos, just know that there's people gone before us, even before me, that's gone before you, that has actually sacrificed into this place, that has given their lives into this place for the sake of Christ and his kingdom and the gospel. And actually tonight you sit in the privilege of some of that. And so just to be mindful of that. And then Romans 12, it says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another with showing honor. This is a household. It is a family. One of the most fundamental values that we hold here is that we are a family. You're not joining an organization. You're joining a family. We are willing to stop a meeting of 2,500 people for one person if we recognize that God is busy and he wants to intervene. So we will put some things aside for a family. You will go to great lengths if your brother or your sister or your father or your mother phones you and say, hey, I need you. It's a crisis. You will do anything. You will stop everything for the family member. And it's the same year. So I think that is should be hugely encouraging to you, that you're actually joining a family. You're not joining a perfect family. So I often tell guys, you know, we were a perfect church until you joined. And, you know, but by virtue of me being here and you being joined, we're not perfect. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for your heart. And he wants to place you into family. Matt shared a little bit about adoption. We are adopted into the family of Christ. So when we are adopted into the family of Christ, we can live our lives together in the fullness of what he has for us. And the fullness is going to be evident in some of the serving areas that I'm going to share on. And I'm going to read the scripture for you in 1 Timothy. Paul writes, he says, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one to ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of truth. So he's writing to Timothy, and he's writing to the guys that's in the church, and he says, I'm writing to you so that you may know how to behave in the church of God. And so there is some values that are all true that needs to impact your behavior as well, okay? And it's good things. So you are not joining 3CI or this local church for your own sake. You are actually joining for the sake of others. I'm going to say that again. You are not joining for your own sake. You are joining for the sake of others. If God is planting you here tonight and you feel your heart being knit, know that he's got a purpose for you. He's adding you for the sake of others. What a privilege. What a privilege. And then the next question you're going to ask is, well, okay, how do I live that out? And we're going to get to that. So just bear some of these things in mind. Some of the things you'll hear we are saying is we find our meaning and function as part of the body. We find our meaning and function as part of the body. Not individually. We find it as part of the body. God adds you to the body. And with that privilege comes responsibility as well. So, this is important. Serving in this church is about joining yourself to this church. Serving this church is about joining yourself. We don't come here, it is a big church, that's a reality. You know, on a Sunday maybe, I think, might be between the two services, 4,500 people coming through these doors. And it might be easy just to come in, do your thing, hear the sermon, and just rush out. But that's not really what church is about. Tonight, I trust that you hear our hearts, when I share the values and the serving areas, that you realize there's a joining of hearts. So the invitation tonight to you is, if you decide that this is your place, won't you just join your heart to this family? And by joining your heart, the details will actually flow from that. So in terms of values, quickly, there's 5 key things that we hold dearly as well as a church. We are our brother's keeper. We look after one another. We live with purpose. Okay, we are not wanderers. We're not individualists, things like that. But we live with purpose. We know what God has called us for, and we tap into that and we buy into that. We build with Jesus at the center. We'll stop for one. I said that. And we just know that the naming rights belongs to Jesus. It's not about me doing something or creating something, whatever. It's about me just being obedient to what God has for me in this place. And I can promise you, over the 20 years that we've been here, it has radically impacted me and my family's lives to the nth degree. Has it been difficult at times? Yes. Has it been sacrificial at times? Yes. Has it been tough at times? Yes. But has it been joyful? Has it been rewardful? Has it been fulfilling? All of the above. There is no other way. I want to share with you that, and I think maybe tomorrow somebody will touch on when we do church governance and things like that, but God's only plan, there is only a plan A on this earth for his kingdom to come, is through local church. There is not a plan B or a C. it's only plan A. And so what a joy for us to be part of the plan A. Is it perfect? By no means. But is it a blessing? For sure. Okay, and then we keep applying the gospel. We keep forgiving. Okay, nobody's perfect. So we invite you sometimes with the serving slots. We're going to get to some of that. You know, one guy wants to do the parking this way and the other guy wants to do the parking that way. You know, and there's a little bit of friction there and a little bit of conflict. But we're brothers in Christ and we get offended and we forgive one another, but we do not harden our hearts. So we keep applying the gospel while we're busy serving together, getting to know one another. Good. So that's really just the basis of the church culture and the values. And then that flows out. If you've got an understanding of that, then actually there's so much freedom to flow into some of the serving areas. And I'm going to start a bit with life group. That's one of the areas that's really just important to us. It's not so much serving as being involved, but there is a huge element of serving in life group. But if you remember all the above that I just mentioned, it will make all of the below that I'm going to mention actually much easier. And it will make it so much more fulfilling for you to get in and to stuck in. So we believe as a church that the life of the church runs through life groups. Okay, so in maybe other places where you came from, you call it a small group or a cell group or a connect group or whatever. In our eyes, that's the same thing. It's just a small gathering in the week of the believers. And the gathering actually on a Sunday, yeah, it's just a celebration of the life that is already happening in the week in the life groups, in family. And so in life groups, it's a place where we serve, we love, we learn, we pray, we laugh, we cry, we grow together. And on a practical level, there's many life groups at 3CR. You can go onto the website, and there's life group leaders in different areas where they are. Our life groups are vastly different in terms of the dynamics and the way that they operate, in terms of the demographics, is that right? The demographics that they're made out of. And so if you're looking for a life group, go on the website. You can go and check it out there. If you're not sure, you can send an email to info@3cr.co.za. Say, hey, my family is this and that, and we've got two kids and babies or whatever. The office can actually just maybe direct you to two or three life groups that you can sort of join. But the encouragement is that if you join yourself to this local church, that you join yourself somewhere in a life group, in a family. It's very difficult to build relationship and covenantal relationships if you just walk here in here on a Sunday and out here on a Sunday. So we want to do life together. We want to take over the world for Jesus together. That's what we want to do. And it's an invitation for you to be part of it. So I'm just going to read this one scripture again. Christian read it a little bit or quickly in the beginning. It's Acts 2 that says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." And we're in a season in 3CI where some of that scripture is actually becoming more and more a reality for us, that we can see signs and wonders. We see people fellowshipping together, breaking bread together, and we see God adding numbers day by day. And you guys sitting here tonight is actually just a testimony of that. And so we want to be wise with what God entrusts with us. So I want to say as leaders, we will teach you, we will feed you, we will pray for you, we will bring to you the whole counsel of God. But you devote yourself. That scripture in Acts 2 says, they devoted themselves. Is life group good for you? It's the best thing. I can encourage anybody. It's the best thing. Will we stand here and tell you, if you join 3CI, you have to be in a life group? By no means. You devote yourself. Can I stand here and say it will change your life? For sure. It will open avenues that God can work through in you, through you, and through other people in life group that will be good for you. So there's a freedom in that. But the invitation is, and what we see in Scripture is, devote yourself. Devote yourself to the convictions that God has for you when you're joining this place called 3CI. So the Bible says, do not neglect the fellowship of believers. But we believe that that it is where the life happens of the church. I've mentioned that. And also, we don't run a lot on programs and systems and all those type of things. We really focused on family. So what we do hold fast to is, even though the dynamics in every life group is vastly different, the focus and the intent and the direction is the same. So you'll find that in every life group. So you won't find life group leaders while we're busy doing Galatians, other life group is busy doing 101 on finances or things like that, because we know for that season God has called us together and we're going in the same direction. So what you'll often find is that we'll take the sermon that's been shared on Sunday and we'll digest it a little bit, chat about it, ask a few questions, say, hey, what do you think about baptism, small baptism, baby baptism? What do you think about, can you lose your salvation? Those are good conversations to have, and that's how we actually grow together. It was just wonderful, you know, in this break, I was just listening to a few conversations, how that questions just came, and people are talking and asking, and it's good to have conversation. My friend Richard here, we had a conversation. That is what happened. We grow together. We don't have the full revelation of God at one point in time. We need one another. And a life group is an amazing place where that can happen. Then, also just to say, the reality is, I was reminded of the scripture in Genesis, when God created man. What did he say about Adam before Eve was there? He said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so, I don't know if it's theologically right, if I connect this to life group, but I want to tell you, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for you to be alone. God hasn't created you to walk an individualistic life on your own. I want to tell you that, you know, I've often hear guys that say, hey, it's me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus is all that I need. Dude, you're not reading the Bible that I'm reading. God says it's God, you and Jesus, but the fellowship of believers, his people, his family, you are adopted into family. And so I trust that there will be a revelation of that for you. And then I was just quickly also reminded of this one instance where one guy was alone, and I wrote here, stuff happens when we are alone. And so it says about David, I'll read you this one. In the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. David was supposed to be fighting with them, but he chose to stay on his own in Jerusalem. And then the next verse says, so one evening David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. And you know the story, if it carries on, it's destruction. It's destruction. Why? Because David chose to walk on his own. He chose not to be with the people of God where he actually was supposed to be. So it's just I say that a bit tongue in the cheek. But there is a reality of us not being isolated. God calls us into family, and life groups is one of the values that we carry very, very dearly and very, very highly. So the encouragement for you is, go on the website, mail the office, go and visit one or two or three life groups. And can I encourage you, go and visit the same life group 2 evenings in a row, well, 2 weeks in a row. The dynamic changes a little bit because not everybody's body is there on that same evening, but just go take one life group, visit twice, take another one, visit twice, and just find a place where God wants to knit you in. Please don't visit for the next 6 months or 1 year, because you're not going to build relationship, okay? You're not going to be plugged in, and you're not going to find an avenue where you can be a blessing for the people of God. But please do that. Then, I think in terms of life group, there's ample opportunity to serve. And sometimes we want a list to say, okay, where can I get involved? What can I do? I promise you, if you're involved in a life group, there will be more than ample opportunity to serve, to use the gift that God has given you with the immediate people around you. I promise you. You can take my word for this. So give it a go and try that. So in terms of serving together unlocks relationships. It's a basis where we can actually just go shoulder to shoulder for God's kingdom. And in the serving, we get to know one another. We get to love one another. We get to struggle together. We get to carry one another. So the purpose of the serving is not always just getting the practicality done. You know, so we can rent people to make coffee for us here on a Sunday. We can rent people to do the parking for us. It's not the purpose. The purpose is actually God puts us together to serve together so that there's eternal things that can happen in our hearts and our relationships. Is that good? There's a saying here which you'll hear. We don't have to serve, we get to serve. Okay, so you don't have to serve here, but you get to serve here. It's a privilege to actually get involved, stuck in somewhere, and serve. So in the serving, we always say there's a job to be done, but there's a person to be seen. So there is things that we need to do, there's things that we focus on, but we're also always mindful of the person next to us and the relationship that is going with that. And that's a blessing. So just some of the serving areas I'm quickly going to touch on. I think you saw some of it in the video. So there's, on a Sunday specifically, there's parking, there's barista, there's hospitality, baptism, super city, mom's rooms, AV, sound, band, logistics, some more. The other opportunities is in terms of trips that we do. So we do outreaches, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, we go in the country, Middelburg trips, we go Rooiberg. We've got all kinds of opportunities that we do. And there's people in your life group, you can take people meals when a baby is born, when somebody goes through tough times. You can just serve people through sickness and loss and celebration. And so there's lots of opportunities to get stuck in. The one thing that you'll hear we say quite often is just come and just be a part. Sometimes you've got such a zeal, you want to get in here, and the guy runs up to me on the first Sunday and say, where can I serve? Where can I start serving? Where can I start getting involved? And as much as I'm encouraging you here tonight to get stuck and get involved, I want to encourage you to just come and just be yourself. Be a son in the house, be a daughter in the house, get to know people, get stuck into a life group, start growing there, and then see where God actually leads you to get stuck in terms of serving. So some of the questions that we also find is, you know, sometimes in these sessions is, do we have a missions department? Do we have an outreach department? That's probably the same thing. Do we have a prisons ministry department? Do we have this department, that? We actually run this as a family. We don't have departments like that, okay? We have family, and out of family, we understand that God leads us into certain opportunities of serving. So yes, we do outreaches. Yes, there's some people that goes to prison ministry. Yes, there's all these things happening, but you're not going to find it in a department and there's going to be a head that's running that thing. It's happening through the body of Christ, each one playing its part. So first, we invite you, just become part of this family, get stuck in, find the area of serving, serve together, love God, and let's grow together. And that is the beauty of local church. I think also maybe on finance it will be touched on, but you would be surprised or probably shocked, maybe you won't come back after this new members course, if you realize how freely and how loosely 3CI operates. Okay, I'm going to say again, nothing will be put on you, nothing will be forced on you. We trust God that if we point to Jesus and we show you the Father and we point to God's kingdom, that God will do something in your heart, that you will come to a place where you will decide, I am actually going to devote myself to this thing that God has for me. And that is the beauty of it. So may God help us, and We pray for you guys. We trust that if this is the place, that it will be an incredible season for you. I'll end with this, that often I tell guys, God is a God of seasons as well. If you have come from another church, you had a season there. And it's highly likely that you might only have a season as well with this local church. Can I encourage you just to make most of the season? Make most of the season in your life. It pertains to all areas of your life, but make most of the season that you are joined to this local church. And I have no regrets when God changes that season. Someday I'm not going to be here. Someday Matt's not going to be here. Christian's not going to be here. But we're going to run flat out for the season that God has for us. And then I'll leave you with a scripture. Philippians 2, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That is the very reason why God adds you to this place, and that's the very reason why you can get stuck into some of these serving areas, so that you can love and serve other people, and we can together see God's kingdom coming. So I trust it's going to be a great season for you guys, and may God just make some things clear in your heart tonight as well. And amen.